How beautiful. Thank you. Don't you love that song? Don't you love doing that work of sending our love?
Yes.
I was hopeful that was a yes. Well, good morning. Spiritual teacher Mark Nepo wrote, "Our charge is to keep the literacy of the heart alive." Keep the literacy of the heart alive. And what he's talking about is precisely what we just did. We bless them wherever they're going and whatever they're ministering to. Is precisely what we just did. Coming together, opening our hearts to love, and radiating it, sending it out. And make no mistake, opening our hearts like that, sharing the love that we are, makes a difference in the world. Whether we can feel it or not, rest assured that it is. And the more we do it, the more we help with the healing of our planet. It also makes a difference in our own internal state. If we had been all hooked up to brain monitors while we did that, the longer we did it, we would have seen that there would have been a significant shift in the engagement of the self-reflective part of the brain called the posterior cingulate cortex, or PCC. And we would have experienced a diminishment in the activity of what's called the default mode network, which is the self system in which negative self-talk originates. What Michael Singer in The Untethered Soul called the insane roommate. You remember that? And when we get into our heart, and so you can see on the screen, this is a picture of what that looks like. This is the deactivation of that center that shows up in the brains of longtime meditators. And when we get into our heart, that critical voice settles down. And now there's a spaciousness that gets created where transformation can happen. Do you see that? Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Really? That's keeping the literacy of the heart alive. And we're going to have to learn how to do that as a culture, aren't we? If we want to have change and transformation. Now, we've spent the last few weeks, several weeks, exploring an evolution revolution through the lens and the colors of a system known as spiral dynamics. And if you have missed any of those talks, if you go on our website, you can listen to them all, where we delve deeper into each one of those eras. But we've seen throughout history that cultural paradigm shifts have occurred that mirror our own individual human development. And we've looked at the beige prehistoric survival era related to infancy in our own lives. We've looked at the purple tribal era that followed that, which correlates with our magical toddler years. We've seen the red warrior personal power era, compared that to the forming of our ego. Blue authoritarian rule of law correlates with our school age years of learning the rules, conforming to societal norms. The orange rational scientific worldview connects to our adolescent critical thinking emerging, where we're poking holes in all of those rules that we learned. And egalitarian green as we start to look inward in our search for meaning in our lives. And these worldviews make up what are called first tier. Now, there's a natural tension between these different worldviews. Communication between them is very difficult. None of them are right or wrong, or bad or worse. They all have healthy and unhealthy aspects to them. And we transcend and include each one of these nested worldviews as we grow and develop, unless there is some kind of arrested development of some kind, right? And then we have unfinished business. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And if we have an addiction to something from a previous worldview. So, for instance, anyone have an addiction to being an overachiever? If we have an addiction to something, it means we haven't transcended that dynamic as of yet. But if we have an aversion to something, you know, seeing success, for instance, you know, seeing others successful and the corporate world, what it's doing, you see, when we have an aversion or an allergy to something like that, we have not successfully included it or integrated it. So it's transcend and include. If we have an addiction, we haven't transcended. If we have an allergy, we haven't included. And that's the work for us. So if you have a sense of not belonging anywhere, you know, feeling like a misfit as you go through life, then that chances are pretty good that comes from the purple tribal years, you know, that part of our development. If you have a lack of personal power, sense of not being empowered, that comes from red. If you think you're afraid to step outside the box or break the rules, there's some blue there. If you equate achievement with self-value, that's orange. And if you're politically correct to a fault, that's green. And so we can just kind of take a look at that and see where in our own lives we have some unfinished business to take care of. As you heard, my talk title this morning is Welcome to the New Clear Age. Yes. Now, I got to tell you that the New Clear Age was actually the name of one of my brother's bands in the 70s. And it was like a New Age band. It was they did meditation music, and I thought it was like the best band name ever. I just thought that was the best thing. And, you know, think about how the nuclear age, with all the baggage that comes with it, can morph into something better, new, clear. There's clarity about it. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The emergence of a new paradigm of living and clarity of thinking that can arise within what is known as the chaotic field. That's the space between chaos and order, right? Something new can come through that and emerge. Now, in the initial set of first-tier worldviews, this is important for us to get. Each of these historical shifts have been the result of a reactive, adaptive response to some of the inadequacies of the previous one. So, for instance, the banding together of purple tribes was born out of a need for safety and security that was lacking in survival-based red. Beige. Red individualistic warrior power rose up in rebellion of tribal leadership. No more throwing me in the volcano. Not having it, right? Then blue authoritarian structure is the reactive measure that emerges from red's lawlessness and mayhem, right? The Wild West mentality. And then orange innovation, democracy, is the result of throwing off those rules, you know, too much authoritarian rules. It's questioning previously imposed rules. And then green comes along to search for meaning, to say, well, I've got all the toys, but is that all there is? It's a response to the too much head, not enough heart of unhealthy orange. And so it's always been an adaptive process that it's like a pendulum swinging, you see? But here's the cool part. We are on the poise, we're poised on the threshold of another paradigm climb, but this time it's a conscious one, do you see? It's not a reactive thing. It's conscious, it's a deliberate, focused changing of our thinking. It's knowing consciously that we're transforming our lives and where we're going, seeing it, poised in this chaotic field. And heading for a tipping point into second-tier consciousness. I'll say more about what that is. And we have the opportunity to be the avenue through which it emerges. What do you think about that? Yeah. Is that the coolest thing you ever heard? Wow. So are you up for it?
Yes.
That's good, because we need all hands on deck. We do. It's time for all of us who profess a belief in oneness to start living the truth that we know. Isn't it true? To align ourselves with this evolutionary impulse that is seeking to express and to be that change. I love this stuff. Now, the hallmark of second-tier consciousness is an ability to communicate with anyone on the spiral, regardless of where they are centered. Politically, you know, all of that. So that's one. And we may not agree with what they're saying, but to be able to stay connected to someone and have that conversation, that is a sign of second-tier consciousness. Also, the second thing is that we stop sourcing our well-being outside of ourselves. We stop sourcing our discomfort outside of ourselves, looking for someone or something to blame for what's going on in our life. We stop doing that. We catch ourselves projecting, and we do the integration work right in the moment. And the capacity to live our lives from the inside out like this is an evolutionary milestone. And so throughout this spiral, developmentally, we have moved from an ego, and we need that on this paradigm climb, yes we do. We have moved from an egocentric worldview, it's all about me, to an ethnocentric worldview, it's all about me and my tribe, to a world-centric worldview. It's about all of us. We're all in this together. And Ken Wilber says it's cosmocentric next, right? So we're on our way. And that's the new paradigm that we want to bring forth, a world that works for all. Isn't that what we're trying to create? And you know what? We all have our part to play. We all have our part to play. New Thought teacher Jim Lockhart says, spiral dynamics speaks to the process of emergence, the need to midwife the newly emerging value system and hospice the old one. That's our work. Welcome to the new clear age. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been hearing about this new age for several decades. You know, the age of Aquarius, the harmonic convergence. How many of you remember that? Yes? The Mayan calendar, right? World healing meditation. This has been around for a while. It's not new information for us. But it turns out that the seeds were sown for this next rung on the evolutionary ladder about 50 years ago. In other words, there was a whole lot more going on in those crazy 60s than we realized. There was stuff happening there. So this may not be news to us, but what is news is that we're here to usher it in, not through forcing it. We can't force our way to enlightenment, right? We can't make it happen, but we can make it what?
Welcome.
Welcome. That's the work. Make it welcome. And so we're moving on to second tier. Now, this new worldview is about survival again, only this time on a whole systems level. It's a global level. And it's about yellow is non-linear. It's flexible. It's willing to work with paradox and the complexities of life. It's a wider, more diverse perspective. And people centered in this yellow can work with very complex systems, interconnected systems. You know, my two young grandsons showed an ability in their toddler years to navigate technology that still baffles me. And it blows me away. It's like they're wiring. It's all just part of who they are. Now, with yellow comes a more holistic view of reality. And we can look back and see all of these previous worldviews as necessary, developmentally nested, unfolding in an evolutionary dance, each one meriting care and respect. Now, many of us are having experiences and catching glimpses of this kind of consciousness. How many here are feeling that? You know, it's kind of peeking its way in. So our job, what we want to do is make it our center of gravity, right? Take it from having those glimpses to making it be the way that we actually express. And to do that, we have to create the inner environment that welcomes it into reality. But here's the thing. The signs are all around us that this global worldview is arising. I mean, take a look at global communication, the internet, multinational corporations. Something happens on the other side of the world and we know about it practically instantly. Video chatting with my grandkids on the other side of the continent. The systems are in place. And it's estimated that 5% of the population is now centered in yellow. We need it to be 10% to create a tipping point. We're halfway there. After yellow comes turquoise, which actually started showing up about 30 years ago. It's an integral whole view, holistic, committed to awakening, a consciousness shift, universal awareness, a deep experiential knowing of oneness. Life is joyous, expansive, playful, mystical. People with turquoise consciousness have a transpersonal awareness. They seem to radiate a quality of presence that kind of mystifies those who are not centered there already. They model peace, connectedness, centeredness, and at the same time, very capable of great passion. Some of what I think of as our modern-day mystics have this consciousness. Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, Michael Brown. Who else? Who have you heard? Who do you know that has this? Ram Dass, did you say? Michael Beck? Yeah. Michael Beckwith. Marianne Williamson. Deepak Chopra. Yeah. There's. What did you say?
Jane Simmons.
Thank you, that's funny. I'm not there yet, but thank you, David. Now, there's not a lot known what's beyond this as of yet, although I've heard that it's called a super integral worldview. This is Ken Wilber. Living life in conscious interconnected unity. And as more people attain that consciousness, we'll hear more about it. So, big question, how do we get there? Well, there are two components of evolutionary movement. One is about growing up, the other is about waking up. And Ken Wilber points out that these two avenues of growth have never been consciously intermingled. You know, developmental researchers focus on the growing up aspect, increased emotional, social, psychological, cognitive health and development, whereas wisdom traditions about awakening to a deeper dimension of who we are. And neither of these groups cross the stream, so to speak. Any Ghostbuster fans? And I believe the new spirituality is about doing just that, crossing the streams, combining this, growing up and waking up. And we can look at this through the four quadrant model, which is a format used and taught by Ken Wilber. With the four quadrants, the left side refers to interior dynamics, the right side external, the upper quadrants are individual, and the lower are group work. And you can use this framework to explore any developmental dynamic. So in this case, upper left refers to the internal individual consciousness, waking up. The lower left refers to our shared cultural evolutionary development as we do this together. We're all growing up. And the upper right is where our actual holistic practices show up, concrete actions such as the cue process, meditation, mindfulness, heart coherence, breathing techniques, eating in a healthy way, exercise, taking care of the body, cleaning up. And then the lower right is action on a larger scale, spiritually motivated social action, showing up. And I have to tell you, the work we're doing in this community, which we've dubbed mission-centric ministry, is about this. It's about transformation, making a positive difference in the world. And the goal is to include all four quadrants in our work together. Do you see that? And the reason we want to cross the streams to combine waking up and growing up is because of this. If we have an awakening experience, we will interpret it at the level of development that we're at. Do you see that? That's the thing. Our experience will change according to where we are in our evolutionary journey. Now, if you remember, The last time we asked the question, what color is your God? From a purple tribal God that needs appeasing, to a red warrior God out smiting all those Philistines, to the blue follow the rules God, to the prosperity prove me now God, orange, to the concept of to the green all you need is love God, our concept of the divine changes with humanity as we change. Do you see that? Isn't that cool? Very intriguing. And in upcoming talks, we're going to be delving into second-tier God. And I'm going to look at three aspects. Presence, being God, I am. Personhood, seeing God everywhere and in every pair of eyes. And principle, one power. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up. But of course, it's not only in the mystical realm that our experience is determined by our viewpoint. We see our whole world through the filter of our worldview. Our experience of life will confirm for us what we believe over and over and over. My perception and experience of the world reflects my inner consciousness. For that reason, it is important for us to clean up our past in order to evolve. It's imperative that we do this work, because if we try to move forward with limiting beliefs, unfinished business, what happens? We find it emblazoned across the landscape of our life, don't we? We face it all everywhere we go. It's like a giant mirror. And the Q process integration work is the key to freeing ourselves from the past. So we need to clean up in order to grow up and become who we've come here to be. And along with that work, we need to expand our awareness. It's not just about looking at our past, it's about looking into the depths of who we are, both individually and collectively, waking up, awakening together. I love that. And then we bring the wholeness that we are into spiritually motivated social action, making a difference in the world, showing up as the truth of who we are, divine beings sharing our light. It's why we're here. And so the goal is to move from first-tier thinking, where we identify exclusively with our current worldview and we source our well-being outside of ourselves, to second-tier, where we can appreciate the healthy aspects of each of those perspectives while seeing the unhealthy parts, and find ways to communicate with all of them, regardless of whether we agree or not. And the reason we can do that is because we no longer look outside of ourselves for our well-being or for someone to blame for our current discomfort. Do you see that? Do you see the power of that? And so this work, show up, clean up, grow up, wake up, this is the new integral spirituality that's emerging, bringing together both streams of developmental growth with awakening practices and authentic action, having the mission as the glue in order to usher in the new paradigm of living that is seeking to emerge. It's seeking to emerge. Remember, we don't make it happen, we make it welcome. Rachel Naomi Remen says this: perhaps change is less about fixing a broken world, more about uncovering the hidden wholeness in all events, all organizations, all people, and remembering our personal power to make a difference. Imagine. Can you feel that? Yes. Do you know that about yourself? You are here to make a difference. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. So exciting. So integral spirituality, mission-centric ministry, becomes the meeting place of personal development, consciousness expanding spiritual practice, cultural evolution, and spiritual social action, with the mission as the glue. We discover who we are, realize how we can be an important avenue for change, and the hospicing of old cultural patterns takes all of us to show up. All of us. So what are the signs of this new paradigm shift within ourselves? Well, an ability to communicate with everyone on the spiral with compassion is one. Anybody there yet? No more sourcing your well-being outside of yourself. No more sourcing your discomforts outside of yourself. That means we catch ourselves projecting. And when we want to throw something at the television, it is a sure sign that we're projecting. Sure sign. So I'm starting to catch myself right here in this oven. So we use triggering moments and judgments about others to be what Byron Katie calls our compassionate alarm clocks. You see it? That's the work. And the third thing to watch for, an expanding integral concept of the divine. And as I mentioned, in the next three talks, we are going to explore this much more deeply. And looking ahead to the fall, I will be offering a Wednesday night class that is going to specifically engage this work. Would you be interested in that?
Yes.
So stay tuned. Our charge is to keep the literacy of the heart alive. Welcome to the new clear age. And so it is.
I'm so excited because I've evolved today because I woke up, I cleaned up, and I've shown up, but I have yet to grow up. Yes. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hurt, for hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity knows and honors that there are many names for God and many paths to God. For we know that there is only one presence, one power, and one life. So wherever you are and whoever you are on your journey, you are always welcome here. Today, we'd especially like to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. And if you are comfortable enough to raise your hand, our ushers have a packet for you. Anybody here for the first time? Wonderful. On the packet is a sheet that if you are so inclined to fill it out, you will be added to our list to receive newsletters. And please feel free to put that in the offering bag as it comes around instead of offering us a gift today. And after the service, the most important thing is you can take that and you can go over to our barista stand and get a free drink of your choice. Or you can take that back to the bookstore and get a CD of today's service or any service in the past. We're very glad that you are here. So now it's time for our welcome song. And if you are able to stand up, please do so. And feel free to give a handshake, a hug, a hip bump, a high five, and namaste.
You can repeat after us. I cannot do all the good that the